Hello, everybody. My name is Will, as in God's will. And I am a very grateful overcomer. All right, so we got some bulletins and notes. In the bulletin, there's notes for you, and Bible and pen to be passed around. Just raise your hand if you need one. This is a sermon that you might want to take home with you. And I'll be honest, this is a sermon I don't want to tell y'all, because this is honestly a sermon that hurts my ego, quite frankly. So go ahead and turn to Matthew 5:43. I'm also going to read some other scriptures. You don't need to turn to that, but we're going to dissect Matthew 5:43. So I'll just go ahead and start. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You ain't got to go to it, but I'm going to read you Luke 6:27. But I tell you, hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, let him strike the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit do you have? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Amen. And then the last one, Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you, and bless, do not curse. A little further down, on 17, do not repay any evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. It is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome with evil with good. So, the question is, how are we supposed to react or act when somebody hurts you spiritually, physically, financially, someone who we love? How do we handle difficult people, people that are hard to get along with? So then back to Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So right here, Jesus is just correcting a misinterpretation of what was said in the Old Testament, specifically Leviticus 19:16-18, and it doesn't say anything about hating anybody. It's just a correction to the culture that whoever embodied evil was an enemy of God and easily to hate. That's what the culture said. But then in verse 44, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He flips it and says, no, you gotta love them and pray for them. And then earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, this is the same, Matthew 5 through however many chapters the Sermon on the Mount is, earlier in the same sermon that he says this, be salt of the earth. And what that means is basically, well, salt enhances flavor and it preserves things from going bad. So we are called to be salt of the earth, salt of the world, preserve things from going bad, and enhance the world. And praying for your enemies and loving your enemies is one radical way to do that. It's a crazy way to do that. Hence why I say it hurts my ego, because I don't want to do that. So here's your first fill in the blank. The real enemy is not another human. Amen. The real enemy wants us to violate the image and sacredness that we were made in. He would love nothing more to have hatred in our hearts for each other. So the last thing he wants us to do is pray for each other and love each other no matter what. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. If you want to be part of God's family, you got to love and pray for each other. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, leave that to God. Leave justice to God. See, if we start condoning people, eventually it could be letting evil be evil. Condemning people could be fighting evil with evil. So our job is to forgive, pray, and love. So here's your next fill in the blank. God is perfectly just while being perfectly merciful. God has shown mercy on us at once when we were enemies of God. So why can't we do the same? We are not to exercise justice on other people. And I find it funny, as I was in the back over there, just looking over this again, I saw the YouVersion verse of the day. If you haven't seen it yet, take a look at it. I find that hilarious. But verse 46 and 7, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing for others? Do not even pagans do that? He's just setting the standard higher for us. As being salt and light of the earth, we're supposed to do better. We know better. So then, back to Romans 12. The whole entire Romans 12 is just amazing, by the way. But that's besides the point. In the subheading, it says love. Bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse. Do not repay any evil for evil. Be careful what to do is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it demands, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, he is thirsty. Give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when I was like 16, I read, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. I said, how is that love? I was like, how does heaping burning coals on somebody's head love? So I Googled what that meant. And Paul is actually quoting Proverbs 25, chapter 25, verse 21 and 22. And there's more than one interpretation of this, but here's my favorite one. It does not mean to cause harm to them. It rather, by doing good to evil, can cause guilt or shame. Because Jesus, who is greater than their agenda, pride, or own emotions, is still capable to convict them, essentially putting a pebble in their shoe. We ought to be tactical about it, as we are not called to be nice. We are just called to be kind. Nice is people-pleasing and essentially being a glorified coat rack. Kindness has to do with treating the same people as much as you love them, as much as you love yourself, and giving yourself the same dignity as others. So praying for our enemies, what does that look like? In preparation of this, I was actually talking to Shay about it, and I told him what's going on with this sermon, and I was like, yeah, this is what happened. And he told me about the sick man's prayer. It's on page 67 of the big book. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Amen. And when I first read that, I was like, wait, I already did that, but in my own weird way. And here's what the whole point of me bringing up this sermon was. So in a group that I'm in, there's one difficult person. Okay, there's a difficult person that, this person I bicker, argue a lot. I tend not to engage in it, but sometimes it just prompts me and gets me angry. I had enough of it. And not only that, but other people in this group notices that they and I don't get along very well. To the point that it's just, it's toxic. So I said, you know what, I'm done being angry. I'm just gonna pray about it. The situation was whatever, I just decided to pray about it. Along the lines, I said, God, this person is made in your image. Remind me that when I get angry, because I don't wanna violate it, help me and remind me to practice forgiveness and grace. I don't wanna be angry. And also I said, God, please penetrate this person's heart so they can be nicer to me and et cetera, et cetera. I pray for them. Something crazy happened. The very next day, this person and I got along like we were friends. To the point that one person comes up to me and says, wow, y'all two are getting along nicely today. She said, I'm shocked. What? Okay. I said, I'm not. I prayed. That's the solution I gave. So here's your next fill in the blank. We pray for our enemies so that they can have salvation and we can avoid resentments. Amen. And literally probably about 30 minutes ago, I just realized this. Let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you qualify. Not yet. Hold on. The question, I haven't even asked the question yet, but you probably do qualify anyways. How many of us have been hurt more inside the church than outside the church? Yeah. So how do we pray for them if they have salvation? And don't doubt that they don't have salvation. Their choices is just an act of a free gift from God, which is free will. It doesn't make them any less of a man or woman of God that they already are. But we pray. I forgot what I said. Hold on. We pray for redemption. We pray for their redemption. And we pray for our enemies for our benefit. So it helps us in turn around. We love them and softens our hearts. And then by then, It might change their hearts. So when someone hurts us, bullies us, is our enemy, and all we see is the fact that they're doing wrong to us. Jesus sees it a different way. He says, well, that person may have not had a good upbringing, and no one taught him any better. Therefore, he may judge us to a higher standard than the way that they're treating us, as if we have to pray and love them. And in the one AA meeting I ever went to at the Louisville group, it was about resentments. And then one guy shared in the meeting, he said something about, I pray for the person I resent so that this is the same way I want to be blessed by God. And it kind of reminded me of the WWJD prayer, bless my neighbor as you bless me. So how about we say, bless my enemy as you bless me. And then also, you know, there is a big mystery behind prayer. You know, it might not work overnight for you as it did for me. All I gotta say is just keep going. Just keep praying and loving them. No matter how hard it gets, pray for more patience. I know you never say to pray for patience, but what else is there to pray for if you don't have patience? So every time you think of them, every time you get angry about it, just pray for them. So the next kind of portion I want to talk about here is, so I was about 10 years old, and my sister was 9 years old. It was the wintertime, so the car is going to be cold outside, so my mom's like, hey, go start the car and warm up the car before I take you to school. So my sister follows me along, and I start the car. And on straight ahead, I just see the garage door. And I'm like, huh. So I try to put it in drive, and it wouldn't budge. Hit the gas. Ooh, I was like, whoa. My sister didn't say anything the whole time. I don't know. I hit the brake, and then I was able to put it in drive. I slowly let the foot off the brake, and I'm like, oh, it's moving. How do I stop this? I guess the pedal I'm supposed to press, yeah, hit the gas. Whoosh, into the garage door. And it had to stop. The only reason it stopped because there was a bunch of stuff in the garage. And then my mom goes into the garage door and says, what was that noise? And she sees light into the garage and this whole big caved in garage door. I asked my mom if I could tell the story. She's like, yeah, the insurance won't care at this point. It's been like 15 years. But I shared this story at Bible study because we were talking about forgiveness. And I shared that story, and then Emma, who was leading it, asked, well, are you forgiven? I said, yeah. And it made me think, like, I go, Mom, the garage incident, you know, what would happen if you weren't to forgive me? She says, I would have had unforgiveness and bitterness, and I would have been a lot tougher on you, probably a lot shorter with you. Then it would have filled your anger. And I said, then our relationship would have been a lot more toxic, huh? I don't know who your enemy is. I don't know who they are. I don't know who you've had problems with, who's hurt you. If there's a group of people, if it's one person. But Jesus was very clear about forgiveness. You next fill the blank, unforgiveness and bitterness can easily turn into resentments. In the last minute decision, I added this, but I look at what the big book said about forgiveness, and it's basically saying it's nothing to do with emotions. It's a decision. The business of resentments are infinitely grave. One who suffers from resentment is the one who harbors it. They don't care about your resentments. nothing to do with them. It's all about you at that point. One of Jesus' final words, taking nails in his wrists and feet beat, in his, taking nails in his feet and wrists, beaten so close to death as much as possible, wearing a crown of thorns that declares our king, saying to the ones that hurt him, while being abandoned by his friends, hanging up there, for the things that we've done, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Knowing that people like you and me are worth that forgiveness. So, aren't you forgiven? Why not offer the same forgiveness as your enemy? And I'm not trying to guilt you into forgiveness. My point is that I'm just trying to point you to the Savior and look at for inspiration and strength. I want to go ahead and call up the band. In the last fill in the blank, do not underestimate God's power to change the hearts of those who we pray for. God wants hearts to be changed. It'll change your heart, and it'll change the world in praying for your enemies and loving for your enemies. That's the kind of love that Jesus spoke of. But if you just sat through this whole sermon going, I don't have an enemy, quit lying to yourself. But I really don't. Okay, so you don't count yourself. You don't count yourself as your own enemy sometimes. And if you're still holding on to the unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentments, that hate, the only thing you can do is confess it. And just eventually just let it go. But start with confessing your hate and bitterness and unforgiveness. That's where to start it at. And if you need prayer for that confession, there's people around that are willing to pray for you. Amen. Thank you. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot the help us, Lord. Forgot. My bad, y'all. Jesus is Lord.
Help us, Lord.
To be the church for the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles.
Help us, Lord.
Amen. All right.